Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, prove it. When someone claims that they can do something and you consider that claim to be doubtful at best, you might look them straight in the eye and say, prove it. Prove it. When someone claims that they have something and you just don't think they do, once again, you might look them straight in the eye and say, prove it. Prove it. That is the sentiment that we sometimes run across as we are striving to share the glorious message of Easter with others. In fact, that is the sentiment that we can come across even as we are talking about Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead with other Christians. Just this past week, I ran across an article on the internet that's titled 14 Reasons Some Christians Don't Believe the Easter Story. Since some of these reasons line up very well with our sermon text for today, I'd like to share them with you. One reason: the post-resurrection appearances could have been hallucinations. Some skeptical Christians argue that the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus could have been hallucinations or visions experienced by his grieving followers. Grief can do strange things to the mind, and it's not uncommon for people to see or hear things that aren't really there after a traumatic loss. Another one: the resurrection isn't essential to the Christian message. Some Christians argue that the physical resurrection of Jesus is not essential to the core message of Christianity. They believe that the teachings of Jesus about love, forgiveness, and social justice are what really matter, not whether or not he actually rose from the dead. Just one more. Science has made it harder to believe in miracles. In our modern age of science and reason, it's becoming harder for some people to believe in miracles like the resurrection. We know more about the natural world than ever before, and we've seen how many seemingly miraculous events can be explained by science. For some skeptical Christians, the resurrection just doesn't fit with their scientific worldview. Whenever I come across something like this, my initial reaction is, he is risen. Hallelujah. My second reaction is to say a prayer of thanksgiving to God the Holy Spirit. In his eternal wisdom, God the Holy Spirit knew that there were going to be people who posted things like this on the internet for everyone to see and everyone to read. And therefore, in his eternal wisdom, God the Holy Spirit made sure that we had eyewitness accounts of Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead, such as our sermon text for today. As we continue our celebration of Easter, we are going to follow an Easter-themed sermon series. The overall theme of this series is resurrection reality. Today, let's see how the Apostle John places before us this resurrection reality. The risen Christ gives proof and peace. It was now the evening of that first Easter Sunday. Jesus' disciples were filled with so much fear that they had locked themselves in a room. They were afraid that once the Sabbath day was over, the religious leaders of God's chosen people would hunt them down and do to them what they had already done to Jesus. It was there in that locked room that the living Lord proved to his disciples the reality of his resurrection. John tells us this morning, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Since the Lord our God knows that deep down inside each and every one of us, there is that tiny little voice that says, prove it. The risen Christ proved to his disciples that he did physically rise from the dead, to prove to them that this is the same Jesus that they had known for the last 3 years, and to prove to them that this was the same Jesus who was nailed to the cross on Calvary's hill. John tells us, he showed them his hands and his side. Even though it would have been extremely easy for the risen Christ to erase the marks of crucifixion from his resurrected body, Jesus knew just how important it was for his disciples to be convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to be convinced that he was not a ghost and they were not hallucinating. In fact, in Luke's account of this very first Easter Sunday, he tells us, Jesus said to his disciples, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And because the disciples were still having difficulty believing what they were seeing, Jesus asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And when they gave him a piece of broiled fish, he took it and ate it in their presence. Why, my friends? Why did Jesus want to prove to his disciples that he had indeed physically risen from the dead, just as he promised he would? Think about it. These were the people who were to be the first to go out and share with others the glorious truth of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. If they wanted other people to believe something that, humanly speaking, was absolutely impossible, they first needed to believe it right deep down in their hearts. Hand in hand with the resurrection reality of proof that Jesus did rise from the dead is the resurrection reality of peace. Peace with the one and only living God. Jesus provided this peace to his disciples in two ways. Not only did he say to them, peace be with you, but again, he showed them his hands and his side. The marks of crucifixion in his resurrected body are a powerful, graphic reminder of the seriousness of sin. The Creator had lovingly warned Adam and Eve, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve rebelled against that one command that their loving Creator had given to them. Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve died. And Adam and Eve brought death upon the entire human race. Every funeral we attend impresses upon us the scriptural truth, the wages of sin is death. Every funeral we attend impresses upon us that because of our own sin, one day we too shall die. By saying to his disciples, peace be with you, and by showing them the marks of crucifixion in his resurrected body, Jesus was proclaiming to them that he suffered and died as their substitute in their place. Jesus' death paid the penalty for their sins. And now, through faith in what Jesus has done for them, they have an inexhaustible source of peace. Peace that flows from the forgiveness of sins. Peace that surpasses all human understanding. Second, the risen Christ gave his disciples the authority to share that peace with others by giving them the authority to forgive sins in his name. The words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in that locked room on that first Easter Sunday, never forget, my friends, that those very same words apply to each and every one of us. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Through the power of the sacrament of holy baptism, the risen Christ has given to us that same gift of the Holy Spirit. This means that we have the authority to share the peace of Easter, the peace of forgiveness, with anyone and everyone who repents of their sins. This means that we have the authority to point people to the cross on Calvary's Hill and assure them, without any doubts whatsoever, assure them that the Son of God himself died to pay for their sins and then rose to life again to guarantee that they have been declared not guilty by the living God himself. Yes, my friends, the reality of Jesus' resurrection is what empowers us to both enjoy and to share the true message of Easter. The second portion of our text for today, one that is very familiar to us, gives us a real-life example of what Jesus' disciples can encounter as they are sharing the reality of the resurrection with others. We all know that Thomas was not there in that locked room on that first Easter Sunday. While Scripture does not tell us why Thomas did not gather together with the other disciples, it does reveal to us the danger of separating ourselves from the fellowship of believers. When the other disciples faithfully shared with Thomas the reality of Jesus' resurrection, you remember how he responded. He adamantly said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." For an entire week, Thomas forfeited the joy and the confidence of Easter. For an entire week, Thomas endured the burden of unbelief. And then in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, the risen Christ appeared to his disciples once again there in that locked room, and he said to his disciples, including Thomas, "Peace be with you. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. Stop and think about how many times we need to hear those words of our Savior. When the difficulties and the hardships of this world touch our life or the life of someone we love, doubt can easily cast its shadow over us. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God can't or won't help me. When our sins weigh us down like a burden that is too heavy to bear, doubt can try to seep into our mind and seep into our heart like a poison. Maybe there is something that I need to do in order to be saved. Maybe there is something that I need to do in order to be forgiven. Whenever doubt threatens to rob us of the joy and the confidence of Easter, our living Lord comes to us in his holy word and his holy sacraments. He lifts up our eyes to his cross and he says, "Behold my hands, behold my side. Stop doubting and believe." Those words lead nicely into the final portion of our text for today. John goes on to say, "Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." These words reveal to us that our risen Lord was thinking about us on that first Easter Sunday. While we have not seen Jesus with our physical eyes, with the eyes of faith, we see Jesus every time we read and study his holy inspired word. Through his word, we see Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, who willingly suffered and died to pay for our sins. Through his holy word, we see Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, who proclaims to us those precious words, "Peace be with you." Through his holy word, we see Jesus, the Son of God, who has given to us the power and the privilege of reassuring a repentant sinner that through faith in what Jesus has done for them, their sins are forgiven as well. Through his holy word, we see Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, who has now commissioned us to go out and share the reality of his resurrection with others. Prove it. Because we live in a world that is shrouded by the darkness of sin, because we are surrounded by countless spiritual enemies, because there are days when we are overwhelmed with our own doubts and our own fears, because there are people today who say they are Christian and yet don't believe the Easter story, we treasure both the proof of Jesus' physical resurrection and the peace that his resurrection gives to us. May God grant that we will never, ever allow ourselves to become an easy target for Satan by separating ourselves from the fellowship of believers. And may God grant that if we ever find ourselves in a situation where, like Thomas, we say, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." May God grant that the risen Christ will come to us in his grace and in his mercy and in his love and lead us to say, along with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.